So let's begin Parashat Vayetzeh.
Never miss a parashat.
Oh, why didn't you even tell me? So Parashat Vayetzeh begins like this. After Yaakov took the brachot from Esav, took the brachot away from Esav, he got the brachot with trickery. He took it from Yitzchak, he grabbed them. Rivka and Yitzchak, his parents, told him, go run away, Esav's going to run after you to kill you. Go run away, Rivka told him, to my brother's home, Lavan. Run away to his home and marry one of our people. Okay? Don't marry a woman from the other nations. Marry one of our people. So the pasuk begins, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava Vayelech Haran. Now, we know that Be'er Shava is in Eretz Yisrael. We know Yitzchak Avinu never left Eretz Yisrael. It says a lot about Yitzchak Avinu's personality. He was a person of complete purity and no exposure whatsoever to the outside world. Avraham Avinu was the opposite. He was a person who was very much exposed to the outside world. He was the one who was kulo chesed. He went and he did his own kiruv. Yitzchak was the opposite. He stayed. He was his own. He did his own thing. Right now, obviously, we can't say that one of the avodot are holier than the other ones. They were the pioneers of each avodah, of each midah. You know, so there's what to learn from both of them. There are times in our own lives that we have to shut the door in our caves and grow and grow and grow and grow and limit all the distractions. But there are other times in life where when we feel that we grew a certain amount and we're able to go out into the world, we should do that and go and influence other people. We have tremendous kochot, tremendous abilities to influence other people. One is not greater than the other one, but they're both necessary midot that we both must possess, that we all have to possess. So Yaakov, what does it say? Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava. So he left Be'er Shava, he left Eretz Yisrael. Vayelech Haran, he went to Haran. Now, question number one, we're going to ask three questions. Question number one, we know that ones who go to Eretz Yisrael to live, what's it called? What do they do? Aliyah. So when a person leaves Eretz Yisrael to go and live somewhere else, what's it called?
Yerida.
So what should it say? Where's Azar when you need him? What should it say? Vayetze Yaakov. Yaakov left Israel to go to another place. That's kind of equating Israel with Eretz Yisrael with all other nations, all other countries, all the locations. What should it have said? Vayered Yaakov. Vayered Yaakov. And he went down, he went down. You go down in spiritual level. Why does it say Vayetze Yaakov? It's a question asked by men. No, we see from here that if you're worried for your life, you should leave Israel. When you're sakanat nefashot and there's someone that's chasing you to kill you, then you should leave Israel. What's that? You're right. You're right. Right. So that's question number one. Let's move on. Let's move on in the parasha. So the parasha continues the next pasuk. Vayifga b'makom. So Yaakov left. He left Eretz Yisrael. Vayifga b'makom, and he approached the place. Literal translation. The article translation. I don't know what the article translation is, but he approached. He touched upon this place. Vayalan sham. We're going to see exactly what this place is. Vayalan sham, and he slept there. Kivah shemesh, because the sun came down. Vayikach me'avnei makom. Vayasem merashotav. Vayishkav b'makom ahu. So Yaakov, you know, the sun came down. It was time to go to sleep. He saw a few stones over there. He used them as pillows, and he went to sleep. So it says vayifga b'makom. What's vayifga b'makom? He reached this place. What's this place? As Rashi points out famously, right? It's just plucking out a few words in this Rashi. Hu Har Moriah. It's Har Moriah. Har Moriah is the place where the Akedah was. It's the makom mikdash, among many places. Okay. Next the pasuk. So another that same Rashi says, I'm sorry, the very next Rashi says, what does vayifga b'makom mean? Vayifga, what does it mean? He touched the place. So Rashi says, en pigia ela tefila. Pigia is another word for tefila, for prayers. So mikan shetiken Yaakov tefilat arvit. From here we see what? That it was kiva shemesh, the sun came down. That means it's nighttime already. And Yaakov, vayifga b'makom, he prayed in that place. What do you mean he prayed? He was mitaken tefilat arvit. Tefilat arvit. So we see back-to-back Rashis. One Rashi, again, on the same two words, vayifga b'makom. One Rashi says, he reached Har Moriah. The other Rashi says what? The other Rashi says what? He was mitaken tefilat arvit. Again, in the same, Rashi is giving two pshatim in the same pasuk. What's the connection between those two? That's question number two. There must be a connection between the fact that Yaakov reached this Har Moriah and was also mitaken tefilat arvit. What's going on? What do those two have to do with each other? Okay, moving on. The pasuk continues, Vayachalom v'hine sulam utzav arza. Okay, so he had a dream. He went to sleep, he had a dream. He had a dream that there was a ladder that was stuck in the ground. Its legs were stuck into the ground, and its head reached the sky, reached the Shamayim. And he saw Malachei Elohim, Olim v'yordim bo, going up and down on the ladder. Fine. A few psukim later, Yaakov wakes up. So again, during those psukim, what happens is that Hashem comes to him in a dream and he says, I'm going to watch over you, I'm going to protect you, you're going to have many children, a great nation, so on and so forth. Then Yaakov wakes up from the dream. Listen to this, fascinating guys. Vayikatz Yaakov mishnato. Yaakov wakes up. Vayomer, he says, Achen yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh v'anochi lo yadati. Ah, you know what? There's a Hashem in this place, and I didn't know. You didn't know, Yaakov Avinu. You didn't know there's Hashem over here. Dafka, now you know, you realize, wait, Hashem is here also? Wasn't Yaakov taught the song, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere? Wasn't he taught that song in kindergarten? What's going on over here? Is it Yaakov Avinu?
I was never taught that song.
No? Okay. So that's question number three. Yaakov wasn't aware that Hashem was there before the dream. Dafka, after the dream, Yaakov was aware. Those are three questions. Keep those questions in mind. We're going to come back to answer them. Question number one, why does it say Vayetze? Why not Vayered? Question number two, what's the connection between the two pshats and Rashi? One of them is that Yaakov was mitaken tefilat arvit, specifically arvit, not mincha, not shacharit. What about arvit? What's so unique about arvit? And also that Har Moriah, he came to the place Har Moriah. And the third one is dafka, when he woke up from the dream, he realized that Hashem was there. What's going on over here? So here we go, guys. Like this. In life, there are three different actions that one can do on a daily basis. Three different actions. One of them is a mitzvah. What's an example of a mitzvah? New guys, give me examples. Tefillin, Talmud Torah. Beautiful. What's an example of another? That's one. Mitzvah. A second thing is what? In Avera? What are examples of Averot? Shonara, Geneva, eating non-kosher food, right? Those are examples of Averot. Now, the problem is that between mitzvot and Averot, that does not make up your entire day. There's a large chunk of your day that is not made up of mitzvot and averot, right? So that large chunk of time is called dvarim sheberashut. Dvarim sheberashut is what? Is not all the way on one side that's a mitzvah. It's not all the way on the other side that's an avera. It's not black, it's not white. It's in the middle, it's this gray area, in between black and white. That's nor a mitzvah or an avera. So now, that these dvarim sheberashut, these voluntary mundane actions, make up most of your day. Let's go through it. Think about it. your day is made up of only a couple of hours of mitzvot. Between Birkat HaShachar, Netilat HaYadayim, all the mitzvot in the morning, Asher Yatzar, Tfilah, all those things makes up what? An hour? If you go to an earlier other minyanim, maybe 45 minutes, a half hour altogether, 28, right? Yeah, okay, an hour, let's say, on a good day, an hour. Morning Seder, okay? Assuming that we're there on time at 9 o'clock, of course everyone's there at 9 o'clock. Assuming we're there until 12 o'clock. And then assuming we're all there for Shiur also. So that's what? 4 hours? Let's say 4 hours. 4 hours, another hour, it's 5 hours. Now throughout the day you have Mincha, you have Arvit. Okay? So, Mincha, 20 minutes. Arvit, another 20 minutes. Then you have all the brachot that you make throughout the day, all the Asher Yatzars that you make throughout the day, the brachot Rishonot, brachot Achronot, before you eat, the brachot that you make after you eat. All this combined, maybe 6 hours of the day. Okay? Maybe 6 hours of the day. What about the rest of the day? So the rest of the day is made up of what? Using the bathroom, eating, sleeping, speaking, exercising, etc., etc., etc. These are all actions that are not here, not there. These are all mundane actions. You cannot label them a mitzvah. You cannot label them an avera. What are they? It says dvarim sheberashut, davar sheberashut. It's up to you. You want to do it, you can do it. You don't want to do it, you don't have to do it. So those are the three different types of actions that a person can do on a daily basis. Now, technically speaking, one can live a fully religious life just by focusing on the mitzvot, the action, the positive actions, mitzvot actions in your day. If you are a person that during those 4 or 5 hours you're good about it, you're there, you're on time, you make brachot, you do what you gotta do, okay? That's awesome. That's great. Technically speaking, you can call yourself a religious Jew. You do mitzvot. However, what we learn from this parsha that we're about to see in a few seconds is that one has the ability to take these actions in the gray area, the dvarim sheberashut, those mundane actions that are not here and not there, that gray area, and uplift it and elevate it and turn it into a mitzvah on the same level as tefillin, on the same level as Shabbat. One has the ability to take those actions and turn them into mitzvot. You can now label them a mitzvah. What do you do with that time? What's your mindset during that time? When you go and you exercise, why are you exercising? In order so you should have a nicer body so you can show it off to your friends? Or are you exercising? Why are you playing ball? In order that you could lift your ego a little bit? In order that you could embarrass someone in public? Or in order that you could exercise so that you could learn better, so that you could have more energy in your day, so that you could be a better Jew? Why are you going to sleep at night? Why are you taking naps in the afternoon? Why are you waking up at a certain time? Why are you going to sleep at a certain time? And why? Because you convince yourself that it's for my own health, it's better for me. No. Are you doing it for that reason? Are you doing it so you could have more concentration and you could focus better when you learn and when you go through your day? So you could have more energy to take care of the kids. If you're a mother, you could have more energy to take care of the kids and to make dinner. Why are you doing that? Why are you doing those actions? Why are you eating? Are you eating just because you're a Baal Tava and you go and stuff your face with food? Or as they say, are you eating in order to make a bracha? Not that you're making a bracha in order to eat. You're eating in order to make a bracha, in order to praise Hashem. in order to say thank you Hashem for the food that you gave me. And while you do eat, while you have a seuda, okay, you have to eat three times a day, fine. While you do have a seuda, are you saying Divrei Torah during that seuda? Are you singing Zmirot on the Shabbat table? Those are ways that you could uplift mundane actions and turn them into mitzvot. Mitzvot. The Shulchan Aruch says by Chanukah that although we paskin halacha lemaaseh meikar din, there's no mitzvah of having a seuda on Chanukah. However, if you have a seuda and you say Divrei Torah and you sing Zmirot, you uplift that seuda onto a level of seudat mitzvah. You uplift that into a level of seudat mitzvah. So what are you doing with those mundane, everyday actions that are not mitzvot, not averot? You have the ability to uplift them, or you have the ability to leave them like that as mundane actions. That's totally up to you. Dvarim sheberashut. It's your own decision. What do you make of that time? So it comes out really that there is no middle ground. There is no middle ground. Because it all depends on what Ratzon Hashem is. What does Hashem want from you? What does Hashem want from you in that moment? Obviously, when it's time to daven, it's time to pray, time to do mitzvah, obviously Hashem wants you to do that mitzvah. Obviously, when you're walking on the street and you're coming across something that you might be doing an avera, obviously Hashem does not want you to do that avera. But what about those things in the middle? So if someone's going to say, Hashem has no opinion on that. Hashem has no preference on what I have for dinner, on how I go about my meal. Hashem has no preference on when I sleep, how I sleep, what I have in mind when I sleep. These are all mundane actions, they're not mitzvot. Wrong. You have the ability to uplift those actions and turn them into mitzvot. So Ratzon Hashem is applicable 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It's not only when you do the mitzvot. A Jew is a Jew 24/7. Not only during those 5 hours when you do the actual mitzvot, when you do brachot, when that's what you're doing. Everything in life is either a mitzvah or an avera. It's scary when you think about it. Every single second in your day is either a mitzvah or an avera. So the ones that are black and white, we understand that for sure. But what about the ones in the middle? It depends what you make of it. You could turn it into a mitzvah. You do it, great. You don't, chas v'shalom. Hashem is going to tell you, you didn't make that a mitzvah. You didn't turn that into a mitzvah. You didn't uplift that action. Yaakov Avinu represented this idea that a Jew is a Jew. You're on duty 24/7. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. There's no break from being a Ben Torah. There's no break from Avodat Hashem. There's no vacation. There's no winter break. There's no Ben Azmanim when it comes to Avodat Hashem. No such thing. Yaakov was Metaken Tfilat Arvit. So listen to this, guys. Tfilat Arvit, that Tferet Shlomo says, Arvit comes from the shorish of Me'urav. What does Me'urav mean? Like when you go to the shawarma store, you say to the guy, I want a Me'urav Yerushalmi. What's Me'urav? Mixed together. What is Arvit? Arvit represents mixed. What's mixed? This entire world is mixed of mitzvot and averot. All the actions in the world are mixed of what? Mitzvot and averot. It's up to you to pluck out the mitzvot and pluck out the averot. It's in your own hands. It's up to you to elevate every single action into good. So Yaakov Avinu was metaken arvit. What does it mean he was metaken arvit? He fixed. He was metaken. He perfected what was me'urav, what was mixed in this world. That's Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says, furthermore, what does the Gemara say about Tfilat Arvit? We know Shacharit and Mincha, their obligations. What does the Gemara say about Tfilat Arvit? Reshut! Tfilat Arvit is a reshut! So nowadays, guys, don't get any ideas. Nowadays, Tfilat Arvit is not a reshut anymore. We accepted it upon ourselves. I know, Ofek, don't get excited. They accepted it upon ourselves that Tfilat Arvit is also an obligation. But originally, Tfilat Arvit was only a reshut, it was voluntary. If you wanted to, you could pray. If you didn't want to, you didn't have to. No one would hold it against you. So Tfilat Arvit was a reshut. What does it mean Tfilat Arvit is a reshut? It means it's a Dvarim Shever reshut. It represents those mundane actions in the middle. If you want, you can do it. You don't want, you don't have to. But it's of the interest of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you take those actions and you uplift them. That's Tfilat Arvit. When Yaakov Avinu went to Lavan, right? He left his Bet Midrash, he left the yeshiva and he went to Lavan. What does it say? Im Lavan Garti. The word Garti, with Lavan I lived. The word Garti, you could flip around the letters and it turns into Taryag. Taryag means 613. Yaakov Avinu said, Im Lavan Garti, B'Taryag Mitzvot Shamarti. The 613 Mitzvot I kept. Meaning when I went to this place, when I went to a place of Tumah, I didn't forget that I'm a Jew. I didn't forget that I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew 24/7. That's Yaakov. And that's the pshat with the two pshats in Rashi. So what did Rashi say? Rashi said that Yaakov is mitaken tefilat arvit. We just explained that. Rashi also said that Nekar Har Moriah Balakan. Rashi says that Har Moriah was uprooted and brought to where Yaakov is. Har Moriah was uprooted and brought to where he is. That means wherever Yaakov went, he had the Kedusha of Har Moriah with him wherever he went. What does that mean? That means you're a Ben Torah only when you're doing the mitzvah. Only when you're in the Bet Midrash. Only when the Gemara is open, you're a Ben Torah. No. That means you're a Ben Torah at every single moment of the day. You take the Kedusha of Har Moriah, the Kedusha of the Bet HaMikdash with you at all times, in all places. That's Yaakov Avinu. And that's a connection to Tfilat Arvit. So, the question, when it comes to the question of Vayetze Yaakov min Be'er Shava, Vayetze Yaakov, why does it say Vayetze na Vayered? Why not Vayered? Says the Kedushat Levi, amazing, amazing thing. Kedushat Levi over here, in the beginning of the parasha, he asks the same question. He says, why doesn't it say Vayered? And he says, he explains it with a Rashi. What does the Rashi say? If you look, the Rashi is right there. Rashi, Vayetze Yaakov min Be'er Shava. So Rashi said that when Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Shava, Hu hoda, hu ziva, hu adara. Yatsa misham pana hoda, pana ziva, pana adara. Rashi says, when a tzavik is in a city, so his splendor, his beauty, his glory shines on the entire city. When he leaves, what happens is, the splendor, the beauty, the glory leaves the city as well. That's what happens. So, says the Kedushat Levi, that could be understood on two levels. One, on a simple level, that yeah, the beauty, the glory left the city. When Yaakov left, it also left. It wasn't there in the city anymore. Says the Kedushat Levi, no. What does it mean it left the city? It didn't only leave the city. It went with Yaakov. It went with him. He took it with him wherever he went. He took the Kedusha with him wherever he went. So that's why it says, Vayetze Yaakov. It wasn't a Yeridah for Yaakov. For Yaakov, it wasn't a Yeridah. He wasn't going down in a spiritual level. Yaakov was just leaving to another location. Just because he left Eretz Yisrael, doesn't mean he had a Yeridah. He took the Kedusha with him wherever he went. That's Yaakov Avinu. He took the Kedusha with him. That's why it says, Vayetze Yaakov Mir Shava. It doesn't say Vayered. Yaakov did not have a Yerida. Did not have a Yerida. So this is hinted to. This is hinted to in the Chalomot, in the dreams of Yaakov. How so? How is it hinted to in the dreams of Yaakov? What does it say in the dreams of Yaakov? Vayachalom, he dreamed, he dreamt. Vehine sulam utzavarza. There was a ladder that was stuck in the ground. Virosho magia shamayma. And its head reached the sky. Says the Netivot Shalom, there's a ladder that's stuck in the ground. What does it mean stuck in the ground? In the Eretz. What's Eretz? Artziut. Artziut is mundane activities. Things that are worldly, physical activities. So there's a ladder. Yaakov saw that there's a ladder that one end of it is stuck in the ground, and the other end of the ladder is where? Guys, where? Shamayim. The other end of the ladder is Shamayim. What did he see? What was the message? And he saw Malachim going up and down a ladder. What's the message that he got? You could have actions that are stuck in the ground, that are physical actions, but you could elevate them to the Shamayim.
I learned a different lesson out of this.
What's that? Because of the Malachim. So he explains, what does it mean Malachim, Olim Yerodim? He explains that a tzaddik, the greatness of a tzaddik, is whether he connects what's down here onto up there. So that's why you saw there are some malachim that are higher up, some malachim lower down. They represent the tzaddikim this generation. That some tzaddikim take advantage of this, some don't. That's the explanation of the malachim. But regardless, what do you see? Yaakov, amazing! There's a sulam. One end of it is stuck in the ground, the other end, it goes up to Shemayim. That means I can elevate the mundane actions into holy actions. That's what he witnessed in the dream. That's why when he woke up in the dream, he said, Imken, what? Yes, Hashem, b'makom hazeh. Hashem is also over here. Hashem is also over here. Hashem is everywhere. Then he really realized to its fullest, Hashem is here, Hashem is there. Hashem is truly everywhere. Hashem is even in my mundane actions. I could uplift my mundane actions. I could take mundane actions and turn them into mitzvot. That's Yaakov Avinu. That's why Vayetze Yaakov. That's why he left Be'er Sheva. It wasn't Vayered. He took it with him. He took the Kedusha with him. That's why Ne'ekar Har Moriah Balekan. Har Moriah was uprooted from where its location and brought to where Yaakov was. Why? Because he took that Kedusha with him wherever he went. That's why Yaakov, out of everyone, was Mitaken Tfilat Arvit. Mitaken Tfilat Arvit. Arvit is Reshut. Reshut represent those mundane actions that if you want to, you could do them. If you want to, you could eat. You don't have to eat. If you want to, you could sleep. You don't have to eat. But when you do it, you uplift them. So, Rabotai, most of our day is made up of these actions. It's chaval to let these actions go to waste. It's so chaval. Only a small percentage of our day is made up of actual mitzvot, actual on the paper mitzvot, tefillin, tzitzit, tefillin, prayers. But the rest of the day is made up of dvarim sheberashut. You have the ability to take those actions and to uplift them, to do them l'shem shamayim. To do them with the right, when you eat food, what do you do before the? Do you make a bracha properly when you eat the food? When you make a bracha, you uplift the food. When you say Birkat Mazon, you uplift the food. That's why the Ben Ish Chai says when you have food left on the table, leftover food on the table from after you ate, leave the food on the table. Why? Because when you say Birkat Mazon, you uplift that food that you didn't eat also. You uplift the food that you didn't eat also. The Birkat Mazon covers all the leftovers on the table. Leave the leftovers on the table. Unless your mother wants you to take it off because it makes a mess on the table. That's Kibud Avaim. That overrides everything. Regardless, Rabotai, it occupies most of your day. Most of your day. And it doesn't require you to work any harder. It doesn't require you to do the action any different. What it requires you is what? Is to have something in mind before you do that action. I'm just going to end off with a story that I heard from Rabbi Weinberger. Rabbi Weinberger once told me that the Rabbanit, his wife, that one time Weinberger was learning. This is a long, long time ago when his oldest daughter was in a crib. One time he was learning in the room next door to his daughter, and he heard his daughter start crying. So as a father, when a child starts crying, you don't get up right away. You wait for the mother to go to care for the family. I'm not saying why I'm going to do that. I'm saying this is what I do all the time. Right? So what happened was he said, my wife is not getting up, so I'm going to go into the room. He goes into the room. There's an awful smell that came from the room. An awful, awful smell. He said, wow, what did she do over here, my daughter? Wow. I can't take care of this myself. I need my wife to take care of the dirty work. And he went and he called his wife, Rabbanit, please. This is a dirty job over here. I can't do it. I just can't get myself to do it. I can't get myself to do it. Try changing a diaper that gets out of control. The whole crib is dirty. Everything is dirty. So what did... So his wife, the Rabbanit, said what? The Rabbanit said, yeah, for sure. She went and what? He heard her whisper. He heard her whisper. Behold, I'm about to be mekayem the mitzvah of ve'ahavta lo'echa kamocha. And she said that with a calm whisper, saying that to her daughter. And with a smile on her face, she went and she cleaned the baby. She cleaned the baby. So Rotai, you could do the most mundane of actions. The most mundane actions. One person can do it and it's nothing. It's nothing that's going to be left in that gray area. Another person can do it and it's uplifted into a mitzvah. So Bezat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the koach and the ability, the peace of mind, the mindset, the kavanot to have in mind, proper kavanot to have in mind when we do these actions, to uplift them. We can uplift so many actions most of our day, and that we will be Ovdei Hashem 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Amen.